Good morning, church. Buenos dias. Trying to get this technology up and running. You can see all my slides, so that's great. Well, my name's Jose Martinez, and I'm one of the elders here at Village. And it is a privilege, it is an honor to be in front of you this morning. And I'm nervous if you don't grab that, but I'm asking for the peace of the Lord as we talk about peace this morning. But as we finish the text of John 14, as Leanne read earlier this morning, I like to ask questions. If anybody knows me, I love asking questions as much as I love talking. Because guess what? I talk a lot. And I'll try to be brief this morning. But I want you to think with me, what is the best gift that you've ever received? You know, and I'll try to be more descriptive of a physical gift, a material gift. Maybe you have something in mind. Maybe it was your first bicycle. You know, maybe it was a toy set or something cool. Now, I want to ask another question. What about a gift that made you smile or laugh, made you chuckle? Maybe, sometimes it's a gag gift or just something funny. I was born in Texas. As Dale alluded to, I am an Aggie. I graduated from Texas A&M, and that's where I met my wife. She's not here this morning. But growing up in Texas, we have a fast food chain, burger chain, called Whataburger. If y'all have ever hung out with me, you know that I love Whataburger. Now, we'll talk about Whataburger whenever. And I'm not here to fight you about what's better, because I just like it. But at Texas A&M, we have a tradition. We have many traditions, and we can sit. You can take me to lunch, and we can talk about all those traditions, and we still wouldn't be done after lunch. But we have a tradition where we care a lot about our class year when we graduate. And so whenever I meet an older Aggie, or even a young Aggie, I'll shake my hand if they want to shake my hand, or shake their hand. And I'll say, oh, my name's Jose Martinez, class of 16. Yes, that I'm dating myself at this point, so there's that. And they'll reply whatever it is. So we care so much about our class year. Well, there's a Whataburger in College Station where students, sadly, will steal these Whataburger, these tents that, you know, when it's your order, that's your order number. And so they'll steal them because they want to be cool and they want to have their class year. I'm pretty sure at this point they've gotten smart enough where they don't carry those years that are there, you know, the students are there. But my lovely wife got me one. She didn't steal it. I just want to make sure we're aware of that. You can see my face of how, like, it made me chuckle. It made me laugh. And it says they're class of 16, so you know that she didn't steal it because they don't say that. I love this gift. It made me smile. It was a good gift. And I made sure that I told Becky that I was going to say this with love and compassion. It is a useless gift, though. I'm not going to use it. It is not a useful gift. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus giving gifts, in a sense, but he is giving useful things to his disciples as he is saying goodbye to them. In the Last Supper, as he's having a meal with them. So I'm just going to ask that we pray, and then we're going to also talk about just how useful those gifts are for us. And we're going to just continue talking in John 14. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for another day. Just thank you for who you are. Father, I ask this morning that you help me. Holy Spirit, guide my words. That it not be my words, that it be your words that I speak. To edify, to help. That it not be me, that it be you. I just pray all of this in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we still have these John journal notebooks up front, and someone told me it's really awkward if you say that and for someone to actually stand and go get one. So if you want to, you're not going to be awkward, I promise, but you can get one afterwards as well. But if you'd like, you can actually, we have a Bible as well in the back of the pews. You can follow along. I'll have the scripture on the screen. And you can turn to page 613 of that Bible in front of you. So last week, Chase was talking about the Holy Spirit. And it was a formal introduction, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, the Holy Spirit is another counselor for us to keep and for us to keep his commandments. So he starts talking about those things. But we saw that the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father, initiated by the Son. He is another of the same kind. He is a counselor. He is a helper, an encourager forever with a believer, with the believer. He is a spirit of truth. And he is so much more. So if you did not get to listen to that last week, please do. It's on our app, and I believe it's on YouTube. And I just want to make sure, like, I let y'all know, Chris Auxier, one of our elders, is the one that tries to get that up hours after on Sundays. So we're just so grateful for that. And we're gonna jump into our text this morning. So as Leanne read this morning, verse 25, again, Jesus, Chase was talking about this last week, started talking about the Holy Spirit and his functions, but also to keep his commandments. So in verse 25, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. What things was Jesus talking about? If we go back a few verses, as I mentioned before, we'll see what, you know, he's talking about. But Jesus was also talking about all the things he had spoken and done prior to his final evening with the disciples. And we're talking about his parables, his lessons, the miracles, the past 3.5 years that Jesus has been with these men. He is reminding them of everything, or he is telling them, I've spoken these things to you. All these things that have happened up to this point, you know, he's kind of reminding them of that and just saying that they are important. And then we see in verse 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have told you. And here, as I had mentioned before, gifts. You know, this gift that he's giving, but we have already been introduced to the Holy Spirit, but he is a gift. And I love it where Jesus once again calls the Holy Spirit the counselor. We saw that in verse 16 of this chapter, but once again, Jesus is reminding his disciples that he is going to leave. And we're going to see this throughout the entire rest of the passage. That he's saying, this is my last night with y'all. I'm about to leave. But he is leaving a beautiful promise of a helper, counselor. And I read, as I was reading through and preparing for this this week, I read this and it says, the Holy Spirit is sent to the disciples on the merits of Jesus and in the nature, the character of Jesus. So the disciple does not have to ask for the Spirit on his or her own merit. They can receive him in the merit of Jesus. And also, the disciple should expect that the work of the Spirit would look like the nature and character of Jesus revealed in God's word. As we touched on this last week, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sends God the Holy Spirit at the request of God the Son. Then, just like Jesus talked about the things spoken to them, Jesus states that the Holy Spirit will continue doing the work that Jesus has started. Jesus is finishing, at this point, he's finishing his direct work with the disciples, but he is saying that the Holy Spirit will continue it. The Holy Spirit would help the disciples to remember what Jesus spoke. And as I mentioned earlier, that's everything that Jesus had done up to this point, but so that it could be shared with others. If you think about it, that's what the Gospels are. That word gospel means good news. Well, what good news? The good news of what Jesus spoke, what he did, and what he's going to do. He's coming back. But it says that, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Jesus had done this, and he had spoken these things for, and saying that the Holy Spirit was going to remind them of everything that he had talked about, for so they can share it with others, but also for their own growth. And that means our growth too. And I love this. The Holy Spirit comes to continue Jesus' teachings, not erase them. So we're going to see verse 27, we're hopping through, and this is kind of like the second gift, if you will. John 14:27 reads, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." And if you notice, I use that word shalom on the slide, and just to remind me of things. But before I do, I think I've talked about it before. I'm going to take a drink of water. But to my Star Wars fans, or Star Wars nerds, if you will, you have heard the saying, "May the Force be with you," right? They say it at the beginning sometimes of their conversation, and sometimes they say it at the end. And it's a simple phrase, but it's kind of like a, "Hello, I'm leaving." So I actually wore this shirt. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. I wore this shirt. It says shalom. It says the word peace. And it is the Hebrew word for peace. And Jesus is stating shalom, or peace, something that the disciples were very familiar with. They grew up. They're Jewish. They grew up hearing that everywhere they went. They've heard it probably a million times by now. And it was a custom. Most of the time, it was an empty phrase. But Jesus is changing that. He is reminding them that this peace that he is saying is not the cultural peace that they know. Again, he would be departing soon from his disciples, but he wanted to leave them with his peace, not just a cultural phrase that the disciples had heard their whole life. And what did that look like? Jesus knew what was coming to him on the cross. And he was saying, "I am not troubled, though there will be trouble." The world tells us that peace can only be achieved when there is an absence of bad things. But we know that there will never be an absence of bad things on this earth as long as there is sin here. So worldly peace can only be found through distraction, ignoring the bad things that happen, and deception, believing the bad things aren't that bad. But what Jesus was giving his disciples, he was giving this peace in the midst of evil, hardship, and pain. I love this quote. In the Bible, the word for peace, shalom, never means simply the absence or trouble. It means everything which makes for our highest good. The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. Having faith in Jesus as he gives us these gifts allows us to have an untroubled heart in a troublesome world. Now, I usually don't talk about my work, the ministry that I work for, but I wanted to share a quote from, I like to call her my boss, but she's like my boss's boss's boss, Johnny Erickson Tata. Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. To those that may not know Johnny's story, in brief, Johnny was 17 years old when she took a dive in the Chesapeake Bay, and she went head first, and she became a quadriplegic. So when I think about people that have gone through stuff, and there are so many stories here, but I get to hear her story all the time at work, and I get to share that. Get to share with our friends affected by disability, families affected by disability. She has gone through a lot. And I'm not saying that she didn't have, that she's avoiding of pain because there is pain. She lives with chronic pain. But in the midst of her situation, she says this, sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And what he loves is for his children to get to know the hope of Jesus. And her story has impacted many in the disability world. But what gets me every time that the chances I've had to chat with her, she points always right back to Jesus. She's in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair for now almost 58 years. And she still says that God is good. And it makes me wonder how, why. And it's because she has found the peace that Jesus was talking about. In the midst of her trials and tribulations, and we'll see that here shortly as well with other verses, but in the midst of those things, she has found the peace that Jesus talks about. And she has taken that, the Holy Spirit, and I love that someone else was talking about her, like thinking about a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is always joyous in the midst of everything, we think of Johnny. And I was like, man, so true. I can't be in a room with her and she's not breaking out into song. She is not, I mean, she loves singing, she loves sharing God's word with people. But she has gone through a lot. And guess what? So have we. Maybe you've come this morning and you're like, man, I've gone through a lot. I'm going through a lot. But I want you to take heart in what Jesus is saying, that he is giving, in this case, he's giving the disciples his peace. He's giving that to us too. And I think about how often do we ask God to change our circumstances, but maybe Jesus is needing to change us. Johnny's an example of that, but there are many of us where we've gone through things, and I'm not, please hear me out, I'm not diminishing your hurt, your pain. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not what we are trying to do. But in those circumstances, when we have the peace that Jesus is giving, we have the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, those circumstances are changing, most likely are changing us. And it's great when I think about, again, just briefly going back to Johnny, she talks about the importance of having a church body that cared for her in the midst of her hurt, her pain. She wanted to kill herself. She could not physically do it. She literally could not take razors. She could not put pills. But there was a church body that surrounded her and reminded her of what Jesus had promised, these gifts that he was giving to his disciples and to us. And we continue on in the verses. Verse 28, "You've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I." So Jesus reminds, again, I think you're going to dislike the fact that I say that a lot, but he is reminding his disciples, this entire conversation, he's reminding them that he is leaving. That he's going to, his hour had come. We had read through John that he would say, "My hour has not come." And now it's, his hour is here. And he is going away. But that there's that second part of that beautiful promise that he is coming back. That's what we hold on to. We don't know when he's coming back. But Jesus gave us that promise. And I find it interesting that he gives it to us, or he gives it to the disciples right after he says, "Don't be troubled. I'm going to leave, but I'm coming back." Jesus gives, I love how I wrote this in my notes, and it's such a weird phrase, but it says, Jesus gives a caring and loving gut punch. That portion, "If you loved me, if you loved me." And when Jesus is saying this, if you loved me, you would want what I want. You would want my will, the will of the Father, to be done. And the will of the Father is that Jesus will endure all these things for their good. So going back to the Father is what needs to happen. Sacrificing himself is the ending of his earthly life. We know that, so that we may have eternal life. And that should cause us to rejoice. And Paul says it, I love that he says that. Later on in one of his letters, he says, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. In verse 29, "I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming." Dale said it earlier. He has no power over me. Guess what? Guess what I'm going to remind you all again. Jesus is reminding his disciples that he's going to be leaving again. That he, and if you think about it, he is having these last conversations with them. In these last moments with his disciples, he is reminding them of what is coming. It's inevitable. It's coming. But he asserts who he is. And then he says, the ruler of the world, Satan. In other translations, it reads, prince of the world, of this world. He says Satan is coming after him. And what's interesting to note is that at this point, if you haven't been with us or you don't know too much into the story, but Judas has already left the table. in previous chapters, I'm trying to remember what chapter it was, but earlier on in the story when they start eating, Jesus points out, he says, do what you got to do. And Judas leaves. So Judas has already left to do the betrayal. And Jesus is talking literally at this point too, that Satan is coming to get him because Judas has left and he's going to do the betraying. But I love that he's saying, the ruler of this world is coming. But guess what? Satan has no power over Jesus. He thinks he does because he's using one of Jesus' own to get, to get the crucifixion to happen, for Jesus to die. He thinks that he has Jesus taken care of. But Jesus states in this text, and he's going to talk about it later in chapter 16, but that he has overcome the world. He has conquered it. So if we think about it, in turn, he has conquered the ruler of this world. So he has defeated Satan. Verse 31. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me. Get up, let's leave this place. Jesus ties this back to God the Father. He is letting his disciples know that he too is obedient to the Father. If you remember from last week, or again, I encourage you to go listen to it, read it, chapter 14, but he talks about obeying his commands, loving him and obeying his commands. And now he's saying, I am obedient to the Father. I do as the Father commanded me. And this last portion, it's kind of an odd text, right? In the middle of all this like amazing stuff that Jesus is saying, but most likely he's pointing this out to get them up and going. Because if you've ever tried to get a crowd of 12 with Jesus to get up and to actually go somewhere, it takes a little bit of time. But things had to get going so he would be able to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and be able to pray. But he continues talking to his disciples. But it's kind of like, all right, let's get going. Let's get moving. So Jesus departs, but he leaves us with these two gifts, the Holy Spirit and his peace. Jesus had no worldly money, no riches, no inheritance, worldly inheritance, to leave his disciples. But he leaves them with these great gifts, these amazing gifts. In James, this is Jesus' half-brother, speaking to the dispersed church, the 12 tribes, these new Jewish Christians. In verse 2 and through 4, he says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. James is writing to these Jewish Christians and saying to count hardships as joy because of what they produce. But notice how he points out when he says, I'm trying to not get the sun in my eyes. Whenever. Not if. It's not an if. You experience various trials. Whenever you experience various trials. So what does that mean? It's going to happen. At this point, James is writing to these dispersed Jewish Christians, and he knew that they were experiencing persecution. And so much more. Yet he was reminding them to have joy in the trials, in the persecution. Now, it has been hard and for me to understand the word joy, because there's so many definitions to it, and I didn't get a formal definition this morning. But what I can tell you is that joy is not the same as happiness. A lot of the times we equate happiness and we're like, oh yeah, we're joyful. I'm happy. I was joyful to get that Whataburger tent. No, I was happy to get it. Big difference. Because we will say, I don't have happiness, but then we equate that and we say, oh, I don't have joy. And when James is talking about this, he knows that we can't be overly happy when bad things are happening. But he is pointing to what Jesus is talking about by not letting their hearts be troubled, our hearts be troubled. Because again, we have these things that he has given us, these amazing gifts from God through Jesus, which are the peace, which are Jesus' peace and the Holy Spirit. And then notice how Paul solidifies that in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Ah, there's that word again. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul reminds us of the peace that we have through our faith in Jesus. And I love that if you notice that process, I don't know what that was, sorry. If you notice that process, it's very similar to what James is talking about. So I think I can go back. Whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and then let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And then Paul says, boast in our afflictions, because we know that the affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. We did a study with some of our students when I was helping out with high school students, high school boys at Providence, and we went through James. And the entire book, we were talking about process. It's a process. They got so annoyed with me saying it's a process. Just probably how y'all have been annoyed with me saying Jesus was saying these things because he was leaving. But it is. But again, James points out at the very beginning, afflictions are going to happen when they happen. But Paul ends in verse 5 stating that the Holy Spirit was given to us, right? And it was given by God, the Father, through Jesus asking for it. We have that peace, and we have the Holy Spirit. Man, what amazing gifts. I'm about to finish, I promise. I think. No, I got like 5 more pages. No, I'm just kidding. Growing up, we did not grow up with top of the line gifts. It's okay. But we were grateful for what we received. My dad, as you heard me say earlier, I was born and raised in Texas, but I was born and raised in deep South Texas, further south than San Antonio. That's a thing, believe it or not. 20 minutes from Mexico. But my dad would go up north with a couple of other men, and sometimes my mom when we were younger, but they would go picking. I'm not sure if y'all are aware of that term, but pick strawberries, cucumbers. You name it, he probably picked it. But he would have to travel a good bit, and usually that was done in the summers when he wasn't working through the school system. But it was so he could have some extra cash. And he would sometimes get us small gifts. One of my favorite things that he got me was a little construction set. So it was like little dirt trucks and, you know, all that stuff. And believe it or not, I love playing in the dirt. That's a thing. You can do that and have fun. And I used those things until I broke them. I loved them. They were fun. As I got older, as an older man, I started to think about why those gifts, like, man, I cared about those gifts. And it really dawned on me the fact that I cared about those gifts because my dad gave them to me. And now, as an older guy, I realize he sacrificed a lot. And these gifts were given in love. I was listening to the song this morning, but how deep the Father's love for us. And that was shown through what Jesus did on the cross for us. And it is also shown through the gifts that Jesus has given us, that we talked about this morning. And because we have these gifts, we don't have to be worried about the evils and the troubles of this world. God has given us the peace to know that He is in control, that He is sovereign, that the devil has no power over Him. The devil has no power over the Father's will, and that we have a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to help us navigate this crazy world until Jesus comes back. Now, if it's your first time here visiting us, welcome. And if you've been here for a few times and you're just like, man, I think I like this place. But you're like, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what you're talking about, the Holy Spirit. I don't know who God the Father is. I have questions. I will be in the back or in the fellowship hall and come and talk to myself or anybody that's wearing a lanyard or just anybody from church. But we want to just chat with you. We want to have that conversation. And even if you've been a longtime believer, you've been raised in church your whole life, you still have questions, that's okay. Most of the time we say, don't ask anything. No. If anything, I want you to be like the Bereans that are in Acts as a people group that studied scripture. And they're like, let's talk about some stuff you talked about. Absolutely. Let's do it. You can buy me some lunch, some coffee. No Waterbury, sadly. But we want to talk with you. We are a family. We really mean that when we say that our village is our family. But let me end with this. For all this time. What gives you peace? Is it Jesus? Or is it our material things? What brings you comfort? Is it the Holy Spirit reminding us of what Jesus spoke? Or is it our worldly comforts? And I know this phrase is said, I don't know if it's said in the South much, but let me double down and ask this question. What would our lives look like if we truly lived like we have the Holy Spirit and the peace of Jesus? How would that look like in your work, at school, on your walk, on a hike? How would that look like in your life? And again, if you're going through some stuff, also with the conversation about us talking about things, we want to be praying for you too. Either email us, text us, let us know how we can be praying too. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the peace that Jesus brings and gives, not as the world gives. Lord, this morning, maybe our hearts are heavy. Maybe something's going on. And personally, in our community, we know things are going on globally with wars. But Father, we thank you for the peace that Jesus brings. And we thank you for the comforter that is the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask this morning that you be with us as we continue, as we go through our Sunday, as we go through our week, that we can remember these things, that we can go back into Scripture. We know that it's not going to be easy. We know that afflictions will come our way, but we take heart because first and foremost, Jesus has overcome the world, and we're so grateful for that. And we know that we have that peace, and we have the Holy Spirit to comfort, to help us. So just thank you again this morning, and I just pray all of this in your Son's mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen.